When God began to create the heavens and the earth, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And altogether, there were about 12 of them. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Today I want to talk to you about beginnings. Appropriately enough, it's the first Sunday of the year, in the new year that I'm still trying to write on checks, 2024, that I'm still trying to refer to. It always takes me a while. Hopefully sometime before Easter I'll have it figured out that this is 2024. And the three passages that we read this morning, that you read together with Jeff, the call to worship, the passage that Jeff read from the Old Testament, and the New Testament passage that I just read. Bible quiz time, everybody. What do they all have in common? Do, 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 do. What did I hear it? What? Holy Spirit, all three of them mention the Holy Spirit. Boy, you guys are good. I was expecting something else to come out there. All of these passages are about the Holy Spirit. And they're also about beginnings. The passage you read this morning marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry after his baptism. The passage that Jeff read this morning is about the ultimate beginning, the beginning of the world. And then I read about the beginning of a new life for 12 believers, people who had been following John but didn't know about Jesus and didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And their whole lives changed from that point. But I first want to emphasize the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, the passage I read, or that Jeff read, may have said something like, "There was a wind from God up above hovering over the unformed earth." That's one translation. The actual word, if I'm pronouncing my Hebrew correctly, it's been 22 and a half years since my Hebrew. Ruach is the pronunciation of that word. And 38 times, ruach is used in the Old Testament. And every time, it refers to the Holy Spirit. It's the wind of God. Sometimes it's referred to as fire. And I'm falling into the bad habit of calling it an it when it's a he, a person of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is an individual, a personality of God that comes to us and fills us and changes everything. You have an unformed world. It has no shape to it at all. It's like nil. It's void. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over that. And suddenly you have the world. Light shows up and all the other things. The earth takes shape. There are plants and trees and animals and an ecosystem that's built. It starts with nothing. And then suddenly, the Spirit hovers above and boom, you've got something. That's the ultimate of beginnings. Mark 1, we have John the Baptist coming along and baptizing people to get them right with God. Straighten up and fly right. Get right with God. Come out here to the wilderness and let this weird guy with these weird clothes and this weird diet, let him baptize you and get you right with God. And so they do, and they have new beginnings in their lives because they've repented. But then ultimately, the ultimate new beginning happens, and it's Jesus who shows up. And when it happens, you have all three persons of God together in one moment in Scripture. You have Father saying something from above. You have the Spirit descending on him like a dove. You have Jesus in the water being baptized and beginning his ministry, which would culminate in his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and for those who believe and have faith in him, salvation for all eternity. All of it starts with Ruach, the Holy Spirit coming in and entering them. Sometimes there's just something missing, and that one piece makes all the difference. In 1981, as a senior in high school, I was chosen to represent my school in small engines at the New York State Fair. I took a small engines class that year, and I really don't think I was the best student. I think I was chosen because I was a senior, and this was my last chance to go to the state fair. Plus, the teacher knew my dad. Maybe that helped. But I went to the state fair, and I was paired with a guy I knew from another school, from Jasper. I had gone to Jasper for years before moving to Canastillo, and so I knew this guy. His name was Jeff Heckman. Jeff and I were paired together as a team. And we were supposed to do with a small engine is figure out what was going on. All of them were Briggs and Stratton engines like you might have had on a lawnmower. And the people that ran the competition, there were probably 10 teams. They were supposed to, what they would do is they'd take an engine and do something to it. And they'd do different things, I believe, to the different engines. We all had, each one of us had an engine with something wrong with it. They'd disconnect something, they'd take out a part, and we had to troubleshoot and figure out how to get our engine to start. And so we worked and worked. And what I was better at was the theory of what would it take to create fuel mixing with spark to get that engine started. I was good at that. Jeff was much better at mechanics. And so he was working away, as I would say, I think it might be this, I might be that. The ultimate thing they could take away, you might guess, is fuel. They could leave fuel out of the engine, and people might go through all these steps trying to figure out why the engine won't start, and then ultimately they discover they have an empty gas tank. And there's nothing there. It could be that simple, or it could be something more complex. They could be taking out the flywheel key, or they could, you know, do other little things here and there and mess everything up for all of us mechanics. One team started their engine. We saw it, and I was like, oh, doggone it. We didn't get there yet. Ultimately, out of the 10 teams or so, we placed fourth, and we never got our engine to start, but we went through all the steps properly enough that we were fourth out of the 10, and so we were given a ranking. I went and checked, by the way, to see if there's any evidence of that anywhere on the state Empire State Fair thing, and nothing online anyway. I did find out, though, George Jones was at that state fair, and I missed him. George Benson was at that state fair, and I missed him. The Beach Boys were at that state fair, and I missed them. Ah, could have had a V8. But the point of this whole story isn't to talk about my abilities or not abilities with small engines. The point is to describe an engine with something missing, something taken out. And I think that a lot of people, not pointing any fingers, certainly unless I'm pointing at myself, a lot of people go through life as a Christian and there's something missing. They've done all the theory and they've done all the thinking, and maybe they even do certain activities and they make a diagnosis of what's right and what's wrong and what they ought to do. And then ultimately there's still something missing, whether it be fuel or a flywheel key. There's just some part disconnected somewhere. And in Scripture, the consistent witness is the Holy Spirit. It's like the forgotten God in a lot of churches. We talk a lot about our ethics, how we ought to behave, and it's all true. You know, we all ought to give to the poor. We all ought to help the needy. We all ought to serve this humanity. All that's true. But without the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like starting an engine just by pulling the turn and never having the fuel that gets it going. And so Scriptures implore, Jesus implores, Paul implored. Well, you've got to receive it. You've got to ask for it. Jesus said to ask, seek, and knock. And he could tell people were scared. What's going to happen if we get the Holy Spirit? What would happen if the Holy Spirit came to me? Would I start doing ridiculous things? Would I start dancing in the aisles? Would I be like John Belushi in the Blues Brothers, doing flips all the way up the aisle? Is that what would happen to me? Would it be weird? Would it be bizarre? And Jesus said to them, your Father's not going to give you a bad thing. If you ask for bread, is your Father going to give you a snake? It'll be good, folks, if you ask for the Holy Spirit. You ask for that missing piece somewhere in your existence, which can be by the Holy Spirit coming into your life. You just simply say, as simple as the prayer I made you say this morning. You know that prayer we did at the invocation? I'll read it again. I don't like necessarily having the role of inventing prayers and putting words into your mouth. We gather today asking your presence here among us. Please fill us today with your Holy Spirit. I made you say it, but only you can make you mean it. Only you can make that the purpose of what your prayer is. I have no control over that. But I encourage you to let that be your prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my life. Fill my church. Take control of me. I know it won't be bad. I don't know what it'll take, what shape it'll take. But I think that all of us have seen enough of how our lives have progressed to know that we need that. We need something. As it is sung, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And maybe it's time for some old way to end and a new way to begin. How is it for one who's led by the Spirit? You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going to, Jesus said. So you have to surrender that control. But at the same time, Paul, the one who gave the Holy Spirit to these people, he said these are the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, he said these are the fruits. These are the things that happen when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And see if you like these. I mean, maybe you're afraid of cartwheels and backflips down the aisle. Are you afraid of love? Joy? Peace? Patience? Kindness? Goodness, gentleness, perseverance, and self-control? Are you afraid of those things? See, it's all good. The fruits of the Spirit are good. encourage you to say the prayer, and only you can mean it. Ask the Holy Spirit to get things started in your new beginning.